want to talk to you about divine immunity. Divine immunity. It's so important. Still talking about the momentum. The divine immunity. Immunity that comes with the momentum. When you talk about immunity, being protected from, being given protection from something. Immunity, the immune system, defense, protection, guard against certain things. We have immunity at different levels. When we talk about the danger of HIV, it's the potency is because of the fact that it deals with immunity. As we stay now, or right now, a lot of us standing, walking, talking, going about a business, not because we don't have problems inside of us. Not because we are free of medical issues. It's just that perhaps our immunity is strong enough to carry us. Immunity sustains us, enables us to keep moving without knowing what actually will have happened to us. So immunity is a secret shield, secret unseen protective force of life. So immunity is so important. They enable us to go on. We don't know what we have inhaled. We don't know what we have eaten into the body, what we have drunk into the body, and a lot of things like that. But we just keep moving, whereas the unseen protective force, shield of immunity, keep us going. They enable us to keep doing what we are doing while they fight the battles. They keep us protected. They immunize us. They keep us immune to all those things. But there is divine, there is also divine immunity, spiritual immunity. And it's so important. So important. And I want you to look at this divine immunity within the context of the momentum that we've been talking about. We have to look at this immunity within the context of this momentum. We are still pinned down to Judges chapter 6. Let's go to Judges chapter 6. We'll see something. We move from there to maybe one or two other parts of the scripture. After God had encountered Gideon, the momentum was set on course. The build-up of energy, of power, of enthusiasm, of courage, of strength. The encounter of Gideon with God, mediated by the angel, brought about inner strength, called Gideon by name. That set up the momentum. Gideon suddenly realized he was a man of strength, of power. Gideon suddenly realized he could do something. Gideon suddenly realized he was the hope of the people. That he had no reason to play small and to play safe. I'm trying to let you into momentum. God called him, "You man of valor, go in this strength of yours. The Lord is with you." And he said, "No. If the Lord is with," and God, for God refused to get entangled in his objection. He said, "Go in this strength. By the way, there is something that you need to do. Tear down the altar. Tear down the altar, because that's where the problem is." And because of this encounter and the proof, the evidence he saw in this encounter, the inner strength, the excitement, the conviction that he had on the inside, the boldness, the confidence, which I call the momentum here, the interplay of these intangible forces on the within that set him up to be taller than he was, to be stronger than he was, to be heavier than he was, He was still the normal Gideon people saw, but what was happening on the inside of him made him stronger than the usual Gideon. This search of the momentum in him got him tearing down the altar. He got enlisted the service of 10 servants and brought down the altar. Because that was the condition. Gideon, you have a mission to fulfill in life. But that mission remains hanging until the altar is torn down. And he moved in the momentum. He was instructed. He acted upon it. I talked to you about walking in the, keying into the momentum. Walking in the momentum. Don't let the heat die down. Don't let the passion go. Just that moment. When an idea comes into your life, I have personally come to see this. As somebody who is involved in leadership, was involved in inspirational, you know, leadership and all that, involved in teaching, preaching, and writing, you know that sometimes you sit down and an idea will invade you, maybe during a time of prayer momentum. You are in the presence of God, a lot of things are going, and your mind is so open and so connected to the divine that there's this overflowing of the presence of God, and an idea will just come. That's when an idea for ministry will come. Go do this in the chapel. Go do this. Go do this in your ministry. Go do this. And each time you key into it, you see results. But anytime you let it go, sometimes you forget. You try, what was the idea? You can't remember. So what I learned to do, I go with writing materials. As it comes, sometimes you just need to drop anything you were doing. You begin to key it in, either writing down. Sometimes you just turn your phone on, putting on recording and just speaking to the phone. And you go back to bed and sleep. That's the momentum. You've keyed into it. Now that idea can be a defining moment of your life or other people's life. That revelation, that inspiration. So Gideon tapped into this. We had already talked about this. And he tore down the altar. Tearing down the altar had implication for Christ's sake. He was tearing down an altar to a God that was holding people to ransom. People were held captive by Baal. People were actually small. A kingdom that was made to be strong, to be a conqueror. A kingdom that was released into nationhood through the power of signs and wonder in Egypt. A kingdom that walked through the Red Sea on a dry ground. The kingdom that walked through the Jordan on a dry ground. The kingdom that ate manna from the skies in the desert. The kingdom that drank water from the rock in the desert. The kingdom that saw victory upon victory. Victory they did not deserve. They didn't fight, but they saw victory. At some point, God will set up an ambush for the enemies. At some point, Moses will just be on the mountain with his hands lifted, and the battle will be won in the valley. These people saw all this, but at the point they were hiding in caves, in cracks. Their young men were hiding. They could not fight battle. Why? Because they were serving Baal. They had been ensnared by Baal. There's nothing worse to anybody, any human being, when you lose God. As a family, a young family, husband and wife, children, the greatest attack of the devil is to make you lose God. We talked about this when we were talking about the power of the presence. When you lose God, you become little. You become afraid of fear. You cannot face things. You cannot stand up to things. When you lose God, you are afraid of everything, including your shadow. It is pitiable. This strong nation was living in servitude, was living overpowered by tyrants around them. Their crops yearly were devastated, destroyed by these enemies. What belonged to them were being plundered weekly, monthly, yearly. Nobody could lead a campaign of resistance. Everybody was small.
So the altar of this God that kept them small, the altar of this force that kept them small, it's not as if they were forced to worship this God. They had been ensnared into worshiping this God. They had submitted to worshiping this Baal. This Baal had come to define their lives at that point. So for somebody to rise up, not the king, not a clan leader, not any remarkable personality, not somebody who had been known before that time to be a leader that could be said, okay, maybe God has asked him to do something. At night, somebody will rise and tear down the altar and set up another altar. People woke up in the morning and say, who did this? The person must die. Hallelujah. Talking to you about divine immunity. So the person must die. Let's get to the scripture. Verse 28 of Judges chapter 6. The scripture says, in the morning when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished with Asherah pole beside it, cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. It changed in a short time. Who did this? Who commissioned this person? Who are you? Whose son is this? Who did this? You see, there is something that is popular in our time, and it's a beautiful trend. People are more and more aware and conscious of the effect of the root of the family heritage upon their lives. And so you hear of people going on family liberation, communal liberation, going to pray for the family, for communities, to destroy idols, to destroy shrines, and all that, and all that, and all that. And if you also listen to stories a lot of people who are involved in such things at the family level, at the communal level, a lot run into serious problems. After that, such events and encounters, find out from those who have been involved. As a priest, we listen to many people. A lot of people convoke prayers in families. They bring people, they come pray, they renounce things, go to maybe the ancient shrine of the family, they cut down trees, uproot things and all that. A lot of people, they leave after that, they run into serious crisis. Some lose their lives. They didn't have immunity to deal with certain things. Perhaps he didn't have the momentum. He was not on a mission. He was not coming from a momentum. He was not being led. He was not riding on the wings of the momentum. He was not in a divine momentum. And so he didn't have this protective shield, the force that will protect him and keep him. Though things will be troubling him, but he will not see them. He will not know them. And he will go about his life until those things will try, not being able to succeed, they will leave him alone. Which is the work of immunity. That maybe malaria parasite will be inside of you, trying to attack your blood, attack, attack, attack. After some time, you cannot succeed. It just lets you go and you keep going. You are just doing your work because immunity is working inside of you. Divine immunity. So the momentum set up this immunity for this young man. This man tore down the altar and the people came out. They said, wow, who demolished the altar? Verse 29, they ask each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it. Gideon, the men of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son, he must die. Because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Now what I'm talking about is that doing a certain thing that your head will be demanded for. Usually, if Gideon were not to be in a momentum, if Gideon were not to be guided and propelled by a momentum, the pulling down and the destruction of that altar could have led to his death. The result, the implication of such an act was death. The people demanded clearly, who did this to our God? Whoever you are, come, we'll kill you. Now, there could be certain things you do that you may not see men or women who will come telling you that, but spiritually, they demand that your head will go. That one is dangerous because you will not see. This man demanded for the death of the son of Joash, but it will not happen. At some point, do you know what they did? The father came and intervened. He said, Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him. Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, if he's a god, he can defend himself. When someone breaks down his altar, let him kill him. The father was taking it too far. Yeah, the father was going another dimension. And that one is actually a very serious one. He said, this man, leave this guy alone. Let God do it. Let this God that we are dealing. The only lock he had is that he was not God. He was an idol. And this man was walking in a momentum. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, let God fight. Let this demon fight. What is the next thing they did? The scripture says in verse 32, so that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal contend with him. Let Baal deal with him. So his name became like a curse. Let Baal kill him. Everybody was watching to see when Baal will kill him. They called him Jerubbaal. Let Baal contend with him. Let Baal strike him down. When he's driving, let Baal kill him. So it's a curse. It's prayer. Negative bad prayer. Midnight negative prayer. When he's flying in the air, Baal follow him. When he's riding, wherever he goes, Baal follow him. And everywhere they see him, he say, may Baal, let Baal contend with you. He call him Jerubbaal. But the guy didn't die. Because he was working in a divine immunity. Hallelujah. There are certain things you do as a child of God. Certain prayer you pray about your family. There are things you see. There are things you experience. There are things you have never seen that your eyes will become open. The reason is because there is a stirring. There is an agitation. People are saying, no, no, no. People are, you know, grinding their teeth. Why should this? So it becomes known to you so that you can keep the fire on. Can sustain the momentum. There are things spiritually and otherwise. Even in the office, as you go, a lot of your places, a lot of places that you work in, offices, businesses, a lot of things are very, very hidden powers at work. Now, when in a program like this, you begin to turn on the heat of prayer, you begin to see physical manifestation, people turning against you. Issues coming up that if you don't have courage to stand through, you give up. And if you don't walk in a momentum and sustain the momentum, what may happen is that that may cost you something. But what I want to reveal to you is not to give you fear, is to let you know that just as Gideon was, you know, given an opportunity to walk in a momentum by his encounter with God, walking in that momentum enabled him to tear down the altar. And when he tore down the altar, they said, let Baal kill you. Baal could not kill him because he had divine immunity. In a moment, in a season, in a period like this, if you really take it seriously what God is doing here, every day you come take the word of God, every day you walk in prophecy, every day you live in prayer, you live in consciousness, you walk in the grace of the moment. You may not have personal strength, but you key into the grace of the moment and rely upon the word you hear and rely upon the message, upon the revelation, upon the prophecy. I mean revelation, because when you walk into revelation, revelation usually leads to salvation. And as you key into the revelation, walk into the prophecy, walk in the momentum, what normally usually should cost you something will cost you nothing. The spiritual forces of things that you may not even know may be saying, let Baal strike you down. Let this happen. Let an accident claim you. Let this happen to you. Let this happen to you. It will not happen. Why? Because you carry divine immunity. Because you are walking in a momentum. Hallelujah. That's what I wanted to share with you. That means you should not be afraid of what you see in your dream. That you pray in the dream and you see issues confronting, you see different snakes. You've been seeing one snake and now you see seven snakes. Don't worry. Keep walking in the momentum. Claim and profess and confess your divine immunity. Why is it so important for you to hear this? Because if you take the prayer project seriously, going through these 40 days, or any time you initiate a serious prayer project to deal with a specific thing in your life, something that is spiritual and deep and determining your destiny, any moment in your life that you go into such thing, whether it is in your marriage or about your marriage, in your family, you will encounter the invisible. And you will be discouraged by what you will see. You begin to see issues everywhere. Which means you need to sustain the momentum. You need to use an opportunity like this to deal with things. Because there are things you cannot do on your own. Those things are coming to tell you you cannot do this. The resistance will come. The point is, if you are wise, that is the time to build the momentum. If you were praying, if you were fasting for 3 hours, you make it 6. Because why you fall into that sin is to discourage you and tell you you cannot move forward. And if you don't increase, step up the momentum, and you know, you kind of sustain the momentum, they have defeated you, you go back to the same level. Next year you try the same thing. Next time, but the day you stand up, you begin to see your position, you step up the heat. Sometimes you enlist some 10 servants around you, prayer partners. You come kneel down for your priest, Father, I am doing something and need help, bless me. You come, you know, you get support from different area, and you keep it up and keep it up and keep it up. And the scripture says, because you are ready to die, you will live. Because the one who is ready to lose his life will gain his life. Momentum will give you divine immunity. Therefore, when you are walking in a momentum, don't be scared of what you see in your dream. Don't be scared of what will happen. You see accident happening or whatever, don't sit down and give up. That is the time to step it up. None of you, nothing, no serious harm has happened to you. That means you carry the immunity, which means it's a time to step it up higher and pray deeper. Whatever it is, there is, I don't care about it. Because when you want to fight battle, let me tell you, bottles will be broken. Things will be broken. But the scripture says, I've given you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing shall harm you. That's Luke 10:19. I have given you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions. Let me tell you, when you see a snake, it takes courage to trample upon it. So no matter what you see, no matter, you wake up and confess your momentum. You wake up and confess the divine immunity. I have been protected against you. You cannot harm me. Nothing will stop my breakthrough. I am not giving up. I am taking it through. I am turning up the heat hotter and hotter. Don't give up, because walking in a momentum gives you divine immunity. That's what I wanted to share with you. Let's go to Acts of Apostles. Acts of Apostles, chapter 28. Why some people fulfill their destiny and a lot don't fulfill, because a lot of people are not ready to deal with certain things. But I've come to know one thing. Why so many people live and die and they don't deal with 1% of their mission on earth at every level? Because it's not a joke. It is not bread and butter. It will scare you. It will torment you. It will trouble you. It will worry you. It will harass you. It will beat you up. The purpose of your destiny will deal with you, will cause you pains. But if you don't know the secret of walking in a momentum, walking in prophecy, and the secret that for every destiny God has given to you, as long as you walk in his ways, you have divine immunity. Once you know that, what scares others will encourage you. That's what I want you to know. So giving, sharing this revelation with you is to equip you to daily walk through it. Don't let it scare you. Keep walking in the momentum. After going through one night, it was not a beautiful experience. Come earlier, the second day, the following day. Instead of being discouraged, you come earlier and sit closer. That means the more you are pushed behind, the more you step forward. One thing you know is that you keep confessing one thing. I have divine immunity. I have been protected. His hand said he will be with me. You confess the immunity, and what you confess will actually work in your life. Hallelujah. If you go to Acts of Apostles chapter 28, I just want to share something with you in the scripture, see, to see how the power of immunity worked in the life of somebody. St. Paul, in chapter 23, St. Paul went to Jerusalem. He preached to the Gentiles, and God, Jesus Christ, consistently told him to go to Jerusalem to defend the gospel there. He was called for that purpose, to be a witness. When he went to Jerusalem, it was not a simple thing. He was mobbed. He was almost torn into pieces. He was arrested, rescued by the Roman authorities. He tried defending himself. Eventually, for some reasons, he had to appeal to Caesar. As he appealed to Caesar, the scripture said that night, Jesus Christ came and stood by him in a dream and a vision and told him, yeah, courage, you have done well. You have defended my name. You have witnessed to my name here in Jerusalem, but get ready for Rome. You will do the same in Rome. Hallelujah. Yeah. I know Jesus is Lord. He's a master. When you are caught up in his net and in his network, you are an instrument. He knows you will suffer the pain. He has also given you immunity for the purpose. St. Paul suffered. He appealed, I want to go to Rome. I want to go to Rome to go and defend. But the intention to go to Rome was actually set up by Jesus in the Spirit. He said, go to Rome, let the emperor hear about Jesus. Go and stand before, you have stood before the Sanhedrin, the highest ruling authority of Israel. Now that's not enough. I didn't just come to see Israel and the company and the leaders of Israel. I came to rule the world, to touch the world. Go to Rome where the leadership is. Go and confess me there. Go and witness to me there. And Paul accepted. I said, I am appealing to Caesar. I want to go to Rome. Eventually, they set him on a direction to Rome. If you come to, you know, at some point, maybe in chapter 25, 26, 27, these guys ran into serious issue crisis in the sea, in the on the high sea. Going to Rome. They suffered, they were shipwrecked, and God stood by them that nobody died. In chapter 28, they found themselves on Malta. Once safely on shore, we found out, I'm reading from verse 1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, tell somebody viper, a viper, as he put it, the scriptures, as he put the brushwood, gathered and pushed them on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. It was not just a close contact. This one was a real, 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 real contact. This thing fastened itself on the hand of Paul. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, wow. Now, wow, this man must have been a murderer. For though he has escaped from the IC, justice has not allowed him to live. So they concluded this man has died. Viper and you. Where did he bring you to Viper? Where did he bring Viper to you? How do you guys connect? Are you the only one here? You escaped the sea and now Viper has met you here. They were watching to see him dead. Hallelujah. We're talking about divine immunity. But the scripture says in verse 5, but Paul shook the snake off. Such a moment like this, wake up in the dream and shake something off. A fear will come and haunt your consciousness. You shake it off. You wake up and begin to have some kind of experience that will terrify you. You shake it off. You hear a news. When you are praying, the more you are praying, you hear news. Things are getting worse in some areas. Your family is in trouble. Your business. You shake it off. It could be a viper. Driven by the heat of the prayer. Driven by the heat of your faith. The scripture says this viper was driven by the heat. When there is heat, there is reaction. A lot of you, when you live in bread and butter and tea and just do everything normal, you don't see any, you don't have any nightmare, you don't have any issue. Nobody troubles you. No, your neighbor does not have issue with you. Your landlord does not, nothing in the shop, everything goes well. But as soon as you turn on the heat of concentration in the divine, you want to pray and face, deal with issues in your family, in your business, in your marriage, in that office, you begin to hear stories you cannot explain. People you don't expect to have issues with you begin to quarrel with you. Your neighbor in the market begins to have issues just because you walk past. Why do you always walk past here? Why don't you go there? You can't explain. What have I done? You have not done anything. It's just that the heat is driving out something from the fire. Hallelujah. If you don't know this, you begin to jump and cry. Islanders, please help me. Oh, I thought I had been saved from the sea. Now there is a... No, Paul didn't have to talk to somebody. Paul didn't need to get attention of anybody. Paul just did something. He shook it off. He knew he will not die. The sea could not kill me. Get out. You will not kill me. The one who sent me on a mission is by my side. He will keep me. He will protect me. He shook it off. During this moment of prayer, you see something in a dream that should discourage you, shake it off. Somebody come telling you something that will discourage you, shake it off. You have an experience where you say, car crash, accident, instead of going home and sitting and saying, oh, say all this prayer, does it mean God doesn't want you? Shake it off. Shake things off. Don't let anything get in the way of your faith. Don't let anything deter you. Don't let anything discourage you. Maybe after the prayers, you are going through the prayers, things seem to be drier and drier in business. Maybe the husband that you are praying God should change is becoming more violent. Shake it off. It's just that some vipers are being driven out to discourage you. Paul shook it off. If you shake it off, you will die. Paul did something. Look at what Paul did. Paul shook the snake off into the fire, not outside. Into the fire, shook it off into the fire. That means keep the fire of the momentum alive. Keep it alive. When a snake comes out, put it back there. Hallelujah. Put it back there. You know, the fire is meant to burn something. You can be walking and thinking you are healthy, but when you begin to pray, that is when the time you begin to see that you can no longer walk. And all that. You know what? Sometimes you need to tell somebody, just take me to the church. I don't know how you take me, but I want to go back to that church. Some people, they are very healthy, but as soon as they get into serious prayer encounter, running stomach, headache, high blood, this low blood and all that, just tell your friend, tell your children, tell somebody, you know what, please come take me into my car. See any way you can just get me, take me to the church. Make sure you go on. Shake it off, not outside the fire, into the fire. That means the momentum should get you back into the fire. Set it up. An opposition should be brought into the fire. Deal with the opposition in the fire. That means keep the fire alive. Don't joke with the fire. Don't joke with the fire. The whole temptation is to get you off the fire. Now what you need to get things off into the fire. Instead of putting off the fire, then let the fire burn and get things into the fire. Let vipers go there and see what's happening in the fire. Hallelujah. I just love this. I love this revelation. Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effect. He knew he was on a mission. He knew somebody had told him, go and witness to me there. He knew he was walking in prophecy. He knew he was walking in revelation. He knew he was walking in direction. He was fulfilling a purpose. He was fulfilling a mandate. He had immunity. He enjoyed immunity. He made Nyangai about immunity. The islanders saw that as an opportunity of death, but he saw that as an opportunity of showing to them that the one who was by his side was stronger than the lion. Oh God of mercy. Just wanted to come and make you strong this evening. That's all that I wanted to do. Just to make you know that you carry immunity that should make things afraid of you. You just have to know as a child of God, especially on such a moment like this, that every day you come sit down. On the outside, you may feel weak and tired. You no longer lift your hand so high. You no longer pray so much. You becoming, you know, there is fire burning. It is burning. It may be as you are stepping into the next 7 days, you begin to see more than you had ever seen. It's because the fire is increasing in intensity. Shh, don't break. Anything that comes, fear, shake it into the fire. Doubt, shake it into the fire. Worries, you begin to sit down and worry. Just shake it into the fire. Get things into the fire. Whatever it is, viper have this, they have different color. Can come in fear, can come in worry, it can come in doubt, can come in illness, can come in discouragement. You can begin to see people quarreling with you for no reason. You can see it's setting it up for you to begin to argue with people when there is no need for argument. Shake it off. It can be you go home, your husband begins to act up, and your wife begins to become funny. She just ignore, put it back into the fire. Not your wife, but that useless attitude. Just put it in the fire. Just put it in the fire and keep on moving. Hallelujah. That useless attitude. Your husband suddenly does not understand you are praying, that it's all about prayer. He's beginning to do, just take it and put it in the fire. Don't give attention. Shake it off and let it be burned. As you increase the tempo, 1 or 2 days, it keeps quiet. Because something has entered the fire. Hallelujah. The people expected him to swell up. That is a usual thing. The usual thing for those who don't walk in divine immunity, if you have a viper visiting you, fastening itself on you, then the next thing should be swelling up. Swelling up and dying. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time, they kept on examining. As it started swelling, they kept on examining. As it started foaming in the mouth, they looked for the usual symptom. It does not happen. And something will happen here. They expected suddenly for him to fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds. That is how it is. When the effect of viper has not happened the way it expected, those who expected viper to kill you will change their mind. They change their mind. Conversion has come. That is how it is. You know, God has given you divine immunity so that some people can have their minds changed. God permits certain people and certain vipers to meet you on a moment like this and certain period so that when you know how to act, get them into the fire and keep the fire burning. When they see you are not foaming, when they see you are not swelling, when they say you are not sick, when they see you have not died, the usual symptom has not happened, then they change their minds and said he was a god. They say no human being can survive this kind of, don't mind these people. This man is not usual. This is not normal. Begin to consult you. How do you do it? Tell me, which church do you go to? Suddenly your neighbor will come asking you, which church do you go to? Which prayer do you pray? You want to try to find out where do you get this power from? Because it's not normal. I've tested different ways. Some occult men will experiment on your life. They try experimenting, it doesn't work. What they normally do at midnight and people will not make wake up the following day, they do 7 nights and you wake up earlier and go for mass. After some time, they come back. As you are coming back from mass, they start and find out, where are you coming from? You always go out early in the morning. Tell me where you go. People ask you certain questions. You don't know why they ask the questions. You don't understand it. It's because they have watched you. They were intending to see you swell up, to fall dead suddenly, so that they can vindicate themselves. They say, this new invention from so part of hell is working. Hell does not work over you because you don't belong to hell. What comes from hell has no right over you because you don't belong to hell. That's why you need to keep yourself in the fire of the momentum. Walk in prophecy and in direction and revelation. The invention of hell has no authority over your life. So they planned and they were watching to see, will it work? You know, like you may have traveled for Christmas. There are some people, when they see you come on Christmas with beautiful car and well-dressed, they get so angry. So they go and begin to storm their thing to make sure this year is so bad that you don't come back next Christmas. When you walk in divine immunity, next year you are going back to build a house. And they get it, say, find out where do you, which cult do you belong to? Some of your friends, they will act as a drunkard. They will come and ask you certain things and they want to hear anything. It's because they know what has happened in the dark. They tried you, they couldn't get you. They watched you. We're waiting to see you swell. We're waiting to see you foam. We're waiting to see you dead. And nothing is happening. And they changed their mind. They changed their mind. This year, people will change their mind over your life. This is why God is giving us this momentum. I'm telling you, in your business premises, people, they will change their mind over you. Whatever that has been manipulating. Manipulating your circle, manipulating your destiny, your movements. As you walk in this moment, keep the fire on. When it comes, shake it off. Shake it into the fire. Don't give up. No matter how discouraging the discouragement, don't give up. Keep shaking it into the fire. Go back to the fire, which means keep the momentum alive. Keep the fire alive. Get some brushwood things and, like Paul, gather them. You know what Paul was doing? The first thing, why did this thing come out and attack Paul? The first thing is that Paul was gathering things. He was making the fire much. The scripture says in verse 3, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, Paul loved to see the fire on. He was sustaining the momentum, so to say. And the viper got angry in reaction, driven by the heat that this guy was turning on. Whatever you are driving out and expelling from life, from destiny, from your roots, from your foundation, as a result of the heat of this prayer moment, whatever is fastening on your feet, on your hands, on your head, whatever sign and symptom, shake it off. Even now, you can begin to shake them off. Whether I see you or not, I shake you off. In my spirit, in my soul, I shake you off. In my body, I shake you off. Begin to deal with it in the spirit, whatever it is. Whatever it is, whether it is a spirit of accident, saying during this prayer season you have accident, you know, just match it and knock it off and shake it off.
I'm not going to give you attention. Whatever woman, whatever man, whatever demon, whatever spirit, I shake it off. Shake it off into the heat. I don't have any time to dialogue with you. I don't have any time to joke with you. I shake it off. Something from the father's side, something from the mother's side, something in business, something in the root, something in the foundation, any plan of accident, any plan of evil, any plan of embarrassment, any plan of shame, any plan of sickness, I am shaking you off. I am shaking you off. Any kind of attack, any kind of attack, any kind of attack, any kind of attack that will come as a result of prayer, that will come as a result of revelation, that will come as a result of prophecy, that will come as a result of this momentum, I'll shake it off. Everything that will come from the altar that has been torn down, any altar like that of Baal, the altar that Gideon tore down, anything that will come out of it, anything that will say, let Baal strike him dead, I bring it into the fire and I shake it off. I shake it off. Every manifestation of witches and wizards as a result of the heat of prayer, I shake it off. I shake it off. I know I have been given divine immunity. Paul did not die because of the viper. He was on a mission. He had immunity. He had power. He had protection. I have power. I have protection. I have security. I shake you off. Any viper of the spirit of death, any viper of spirit of accident, any viper of any kind of obstruction, any kind of embarrassment that is coming to discourage me from this prayer project, I shake you off. Whatever is coming from the altar in the family, whatever is coming from the altar of Baal in the family, whatever young men are demanding for your head because you are breaking down things in business premises or in the office, I shake it off. Declare, it shall not hurt me. It shall not touch me. Viper has no power over me. His word is true over my life. I have given you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing shall harm you. Nothing shall harm me. Nothing shall harm me. Therefore, I shake it off. Whatever that has been discouraging you in the dream from praying, shake it off. Whatever spirit of fear and doubt, shake it off. Whatever spirit of weakness and discouragement, shake it off. As you begin the prayer for your breakthrough and you begin to see nightmares, begin to encounter three things in the dream that will make you sick in the morning and discourage you in the morning, wake up and shake it off by revelation. I have divine immunity. I am walking in prophecy and direction. The divine momentum also gives me divine security. Hallelujah. Shake it off. Emotionally, shake it off. As you are going through the prayer, maybe you are being infected and infested by the spirit of lust to discourage you from fasting and prayer. Shake it off. Every encumbrance in the spirit and in the body, shake it off. Shake it off in your dream, in your body. As you are going, whatever it is, shake it off. The seen and the unseen. The known and the unknown. The tangible and the intangible. Any form of discouragement, shake it off. Paul had to shake off the viper. Every viper upon your head. Every viper upon your shoulder. Every viper moving in your womb. Moving in your stomach. In your soul, whatever it is, whatever kind of viper, shake it off by the grace of God, by the power in the name of Jesus Christ, shake it off and be released. Those who watch to see you dead will be confused. They will change their mind. You shall not swell. You shall not fall. You shall not die. It shall not poison you. Whatever dream that each time you see it, you get sick. You fall sick. You can no longer pray. Shake it off. It shall have no effect on you. Confess your immunity. I have immunity. I know I have immunity. He has protected me. No viper has any power over your marriage. No viper has any power over your health. Shake it off. During this prayer project, no viper has any place. I decree and I declare over your life that it shall not work. The usual familiar viper shall not work. The scripture said, they encompass me, they encompass me about. But in the Lord's name, I crush them. David told Goliath, you come against me with your spear. come against me with your javelin, but I come against you in the name of the God of Israel that you defy. I shake you off. David had to shake off Goliath. Shake it off into the fire. Shake that pain, that sickness. Shake it off. Shake it off. That weight, that heavy spirit, shake it off. In the name of Jesus.